The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we unpack the biggest ideas from some of the world's most important books. Today we are tackling something, well, something that holds us all to the ground, but also holds the entire universe together.
We're talking about gravity.
Exactly. And we've been deep in the work of cosmologist Timothy Clifton, looking at his whole perspective on gravity, on space-time, and how the cosmos evolves.
And this is such a critical topic because, you know, the modern way of thinking about gravity isn't really about a force at all.
Right.
Clifton's whole thesis is that gravity is actually the curvature of space-time itself. It's
right.
Not just some rule that planets follow. It's the architect. I mean, the hidden architect of everything we see.
And that idea of force versus geometry is why this matters so much right now. Because if you want to solve the biggest puzzles out there, like what happens inside a black hole? Or why is the universe expanding faster and faster? It all comes back to getting gravity right. If our picture is even a little bit off, then, well, the whole foundation of modern physics feels a bit shaky.
And the person guiding us through this, Timothy Clifton, he's really the perfect guide for this. He's a top theoretical physicist and cosmologist over at Queen Mary University of London.
Right.
His whole career is basically dedicated to Einstein's general relativity and, you know, figuring out how to apply its really complex math to what we actually see out there in the universe.
So what makes his take on it so special? I mean, lots of people write about Einstein.
Well, he's not just a writer or a historian. He's an active researcher. He's on the front lines, you know, bridging that gap between the pure abstract equations and the messy real-world data from telescopes.
So he's in the trenches.
Exactly. He sees gravity not as a closed book, a problem that was solved in 1915, but as a live, active mystery. He knows where the theory works beautifully, but maybe more importantly, he knows exactly where it starts to break down.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. From what I gathered, it's structured like a journey, right? It takes you from the way we used to think about gravity.
The classical view, yeah.
Newton. Right into this much stranger geometric world of Einstein.
And that's the central thread, really. The book keeps coming back to how difficult it is to let go of our intuitions. You know, we think of space as this fixed, empty stage and time as something that just ticks along at the same rate for everyone.
But that's not reality.
Not at all. Modern cosmology says reality is curved, it's relative, and the book's purpose is really to guide you through that mental shift, to force you to abandon what you thought you knew.
And he does it really well without just throwing a bunch of math at you. He uses these thought experiments and analogies to explain things that sound incredibly complex, like time dilation, the idea that time can actually slow down.
He makes it accessible. And the whole journey leads up to the three biggest puzzles in science today: dark matter, dark energy, and the big one, quantum gravity.
A compelling story. And to really get it, you have to start with the first genius who put it all together, Isaac Newton.
Absolutely.
So let's dive into Newton's revolution, his universal law of gravitation. I mean, that equation was just a monumental achievement for its time.
Oh, it was huge. It was the first time anyone had found a single mathematical rule that explained both things on Earth.
Like an apple falling from a tree.
And things in the heavens, like the moon orbiting the Earth.
Yeah.
It showed that the universe wasn't chaotic. It was orderly. It followed laws.
But, and this is a huge but, there was a deep philosophical flaw in it that even Newton himself admitted he couldn't solve.
Action at a distance.
Exactly. He could tell you how gravity worked mathematically, but he had no idea why. How does the Earth, you know, reach out across empty space and tell the moon to orbit it instantaneously?
It's like magic. There's no messenger, no medium.
What?
It just happens. Yes. And that philosophical problem is what bothered Albert Einstein two centuries later.
And he solved it with this incredible geometric leap. So let's talk about the key idea that unlocked it all for him, the principle of equivalence.
Right. It's such a brilliant thought experiment. He says, imagine you're in a sealed, windowless elevator.
Okay.
Now, if that elevator is way out in deep space, but it's accelerating upwards, what do you feel? You feel a force pushing on your feet.
Right. You feel heavy.
Now, what if the elevator is just sitting still on the surface of the Earth? You feel gravity pulling you down. Einstein's insight was that from inside that box, those two feelings are completely, fundamentally indistinguishable.
So gravity is the same as acceleration.
Exactly. And if they're indistinguishable, then gravity can't be some mysterious force. It has to be a feature of space-time itself. And that leads to the core idea of general relativity. Matter tells space-time how to curve, and curved space-time tells matter how to move.
This is where that famous analogy comes in, right? The bowling ball on the rubber sheet.
Yeah, it's the best way to visualize it. You put a heavy bowling ball, it's a star or a planet, on a stretched rubber sheet, and it creates a big curve, a dip.
And a little marble rolling by.
Doesn't get pulled toward the bowling ball. It just follows the straightest possible path through that now curved surface. It's following the geometry. We think we're being pulled down to Earth, but we're really just moving along the straightest path through curved space-time.
It's such a radical shift in thinking. So this new theory, beautiful as it was, it had to be tested.
Of course.
And its first big win was explaining the orbit of Mercury.
Right. Newton's math was always just a tiny bit off for Mercury's orbit, just a little wobble it couldn't account for. But Einstein's new equations of curved space-time, they predicted that wobble perfectly.
And then came the big public proof in 1919, gravitational lensing.
This was the dramatic one. Einstein predicted that something as massive as the sun should literally bend the fabric of space around it, so much so that it would bend the path of starlight passing by.
And Sir Arthur Eddington went out during a solar eclipse and actually saw it happen.
He saw it. He measured the starlight bending. It was front page news around the world. It proved gravity wasn't just affecting matter, it was affecting light, too, the very shape of reality.
The theory also led to even more extreme predictions, like black holes.
Singularities, yeah. Regions of space-time so warped that nothing, not even light, can get out.
Hmm.
And then, 100 years after we first predicted them, we finally detected gravitational waves.
That was the LIGO detection in 2015, right?
Yes. Tiny ripples in space-time itself caused by two black holes colliding billions of light years away. It was like, for the first time, we could hear the universe, not just see it. A totally new sense.
The theory has been so incredibly successful, but, and this is the part I find most fascinating, it's very, success is what revealed how much we don't know. This is what you call the dark side.
This is the current frontier, the crisis in cosmology today. Because when you apply general relativity to the entire universe, you find that about 95% of it is. Well, it's missing.
Okay, let's break that down. First, dark matter. What was the evidence for that?
Well, an astronomer named Vera Rubin was studying how galaxies rotate, and she found they were spinning way too fast.
Too fast.
Yeah, based on all the stars and gas we could see, they should have just flown apart. So there has to be some kind of invisible matter, a huge halo of it, providing the extra gravitational glue to hold them together. We call it dark matter. It makes up about 27% of the universe.
So it's invisible glue, but then there's dark energy, which is even weirder.
Much weirder, because it does the opposite. In the late 90s, astronomers looking at distant supernovae discovered that the expansion of the universe isn't slowing down like everyone thought it would. It's actually speeding up.
It's accelerating.
Accelerating. To explain that, you need some kind of repulsive energy built into the fabric of space itself. That's dark energy. And it accounts for about 68% of everything.
So you add those up, 27% dark matter, 68% dark energy, that's 95%.
95%. Our best theory of gravity tells us that almost the entire cosmos is made of stuff we have absolutely no idea what it is. It's humbling.
It really is. And that humility is one of the key themes that Crifton keeps coming back to, right? This idea of the evolution of scientific understanding.
Yes, exactly. The whole story from Newton to Einstein is a perfect example of how science moves forward. You have to be willing to throw out your most cherished intuitive ideas.
Space is fixed, time is absolute. Those feel right, but they're wrong.
And the lesson for all of us, you know, in our own lives, is being willing to do that too. To discard an old assumption when new evidence comes along.
That leads to the next theme, which is just the counterintuitive nature of reality. The universe is so much stranger than our common sense can handle.
I mean, time literally running at different speeds depending on where you are. The fact that most of reality is invisible and pushing the universe apart, it's mind-bending, and it tells us we're nowhere near done figuring things out.
Which I find really inspiring. The mystery is the point. And the final big theme is the unity of physical laws.
Right. That the same elegant principles of space-time curvature that make a pencil fall off your desk are also governing these cataclysmic collisions of black holes billions of light years away.
It just shows how deeply interconnected everything is, from the very small to the cosmically huge.
Clifton is fantastic at boiling these big ideas down into really memorable phrases. We should probably share a few of them.
Let's do it. For me, the one that sums up the whole revolution is this. Gravity is not a force pulling us down, but rather the curvature of space-time pushing us along the straightest possible paths through a curved universe.
That's the whole paradigm shift in one sentence. It's not a pull. It's a push from the geometry of the universe itself.
Love that. What about you?
I like this one, on the power of math. The universe is under no obligation to make sense to us, yet remarkably, the language of mathematics allows us to decode its deepest secrets.
It's a reminder that these breakthroughs don't just come from looking through a telescope. They come from pure abstract thought.
Right. And then there's this one about the modern era. Gravitational waves carry the whispers of the universe's most violent events, allowing us to hear the cosmos itself.
It really reframes it. It's not just data. It's a new sense, a new way to experience the universe.
And this isn't all just abstract theory. I mean, general relativity has some incredibly important real-world applications. The biggest one is GPS.
This is the classic example, and it blows my mind every time. Tell us why our phones would get us lost without Einstein.
Okay, so your GPS works by talking to satellites, which have super precise atomic clocks on them. But those satellites are moving really fast, and they're also in a region where Earth's gravity is a bit weaker.
Two relativistic effects.
Two effects. Because they're moving fast, their clocks tick a tiny bit slower. That's special relativity.
Yeah.
But because gravity is weaker up there, their clocks tick a tiny bit faster. That's general relativity.
And you have to account for both.
You have to account for both. Precisely. If the engineers didn't constantly correct for these effects using Einstein's equations, the timing errors would build up so fast that your GPS would be off by miles within a single day.
So the map on your phone literally depends on the curvature of space-time.
It absolutely does.
That's incredible. And on a more philosophical level, this whole story is a lesson in innovation, isn't it? It's about questioning foundational assumptions.
Completely. Einstein's breakthrough didn't come from tweaking Newton's equations. It came from asking a more fundamental question. What if space and time aren't absolute? That courage to challenge the very foundation is how you get a true paradigm shift.
In any field, really.
In any field. And I think the final application is just a change in your own worldview. Realizing that we live in this vast, strange, mostly unknown cosmos, it should foster a real sense of awe and humility.
It definitely does. So for our final takeaways, what was the most surprising thing for you in this step dive?
You know, for me, it was the realization that the incredible success of general relativity is what led us directly into this crisis of the 95% unknown. The theory is so good, it revealed its own massive blind spots. It proved that gravity is still the biggest mystery out there.
I completely agree with that. The thing that really stuck with me was just the intellectual courage of someone like Einstein, the willingness to just completely abandon centuries of established thinking because the evidence pointed somewhere new.
It's a great lesson.
It is. The lesson is that science isn't about finding the final truth. It's a journey of finding better and better, more elegant approximations of it. And we are definitely not done.
A great way to put it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.